got a couple of passages of scriptures I want to preach from this morning. So I ask that you'd go with me to Ephesians chapter 2 and Mark chapter 10. Ephesians chapter 2, Mark chapter 10. We're going to begin at Ephesians chapter 2, starting with verse 4. But God, who is rich in mercy, for his great love wherewith he loved us, even when we were dead in sins, hath he quickened us together with Christ. By grace you are saved, and hath raised us up together and made us to sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus, that in the ages to come he might show forth the exceeding riches of his grace and his kindness toward us through Christ Jesus. For by grace are you saved through faith, and not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. Go with me to Mark chapter 10, beginning with verse 17. And when he was gone forth into the way, there came one running and kneeled to him and asked him, Good master, what shall I do that I may inherit eternal life? And Jesus said unto him, Why callest thou me good? There is none good but one, that is God. Thou knowest the commandments, do not commit adultery, do not kill, do not steal, do not bear false witness, defraud not, honor thy father and mother. And he answered and said unto him, Master, all these things I observed from my youth. Then Jesus, beholding him, loved him, and said unto him, One thing thou lackest, go thy way, sell whatsoever thou hast, and give to the poor, and thou shalt have treasure in heaven, and come, take up the cross, and follow me. And he was grieved at the saying, and went away grieved, for he had great possessions. And Jesus looked round about, and saith unto his disciples, How hardly shall they that have riches enter into the kingdom of God? And his disciples were astonished at his words, but Jesus answered again and said unto them, Children, how hard is it for them that trust in riches to enter into the kingdom of God? It is easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for a rich man to enter into the kingdom of God. And they were astonished out of measure, saying among themselves, Who then can be saved? And Jesus, looking upon them, saith, With men it is impossible, but not with God. For with God all things are possible. You know, I've always heard this message preached that this rich man missed heaven because there was just something that he wasn't willing to give up. That he missed heaven because he loved his riches more than he loved God. He missed heaven because he loved his riches more than he desired eternal life. And I want to say that I'm not saying that's an inaccurate interpretation. I know there are many people who missed heaven because there was just something they weren't willing to let go of to receive Christ as God's plan of salvation and follow him. I know there's a lot of people that miss heaven because of that one thing thou lackest. I know that. And when the Lord puts it on my heart, I preach this story that way. But this morning, I feel like the Lord has shown me another angle. He's shown me another view on this story. And if I wasn't 100% confident, I wasn't hearing something from the Lord, I wouldn't preach this message. Which you'd understand, I am standing up here in fear and trembling because I've never heard it preached this way. But I believe what I have in my heart is from the Lord. And I also believe that as this message unfolds, something in the heart is going to say, yes, I've never seen it this way. But there is truth in this. There's great truth in this. And so this morning, I just want to preach to you this message. Put your list into the hands of grace. Put your list into the hands of grace. Let's pray this morning. Father, I first pray for Timothy. I pray that you would touch him, God. Lord, I pray that you'd put your hand upon him. Holy Spirit, you are the Spirit that raised Jesus from the dead. And I pray that you would quicken his body. I pray that you would quicken those places in his, Lord, in his brain, God, that just need a touch from God. Lord, we love our brother. We pray for our brother. We ask that you'd put your hand upon our brother. And God, that you would encourage him today, Lord. And Father, I pray for this message today. I pray that it would be a strengthening message to our heart, God. And I thank you for the words that are in my heart. And I pray that you would help me. Lord, that is just not my great gifting, communicating. But I ask that you would just help me convey the things that are in my heart out of my mouth. And Lord, just have your way in hearts today. And we pray it in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. So in Mark 10, our story begins with a young man coming to Jesus with a question. And the first thing I want us to recognize in this young man's life is his sincerity. When he brings his question before Jesus, he's not trying to patronize Jesus. His question is sincere. His respect for Jesus as a teacher is sincere. And so he approaches the Lord with a heart of sincerity. And he says, Jesus, what must I do to inherit eternal life? And the first thing Jesus says in response to his address, good master, what must I do to inherit eternal life? Jesus responds, why do you call me good? There's none good in heaven but one, and that's God. And Jesus isn't saying that I'm not good. He's simply making a point. What Jesus is saying is this. It's the Father who sent me. And if you see anything good, if you see me doing anything good, it's just because I'm doing the works of the one who sent me. He's putting the emphasis back on the Father. Ultimately, he's saying God is good. But then Jesus begins to look into this man's life. He begins to look in the sincerity of this man's heart. You know, the same eyes that searched Nathanael and said, true Israelite indeed, in whom there is no guile. The same eyes that looked up into a tree and saw the hunger in the heart of a tax collector and said, Zacchaeus, I have to go to your house today. Those same eyes are searching the sincerity of this man's heart, and he begins to answer the sincerity of this man's heart. And it's in searching this man's heart that Jesus sees something in his life, that if this man is truly going to find eternal life, there's something in his life that he has to see. This rich man, young man, there's something in his life that he has to reckon with if he's going to find the eternal life that is in Christ. So in order to begin to open the eyes of his heart so he can begin to see it, Jesus presents to him the law. He says, you know the commandments. Thou shalt not kill. Thou shalt not steal. Thou shalt not bear false witness. Honor your mother and your father. You know what's written down in the commandments of God. And this young man, when he hears Jesus' response, he says to Jesus, Master, I've been careful to do all these things since my youth. Now, when this young man said these words, Master, I've been careful to do these things since my youth, what is it that Jesus really heard him say? Now, capture this. This is so important. When this man said, all these things I've kept from my youth, what is it that Jesus really heard him say? What Jesus heard him say is simply this. My strength is sufficient for these things. My strength is sufficient to inherit eternal life. All that God requires, all that God commands, my strength is sufficient for that. And so it's then that Jesus looks at him with those eyes of love, with those deep, searching, penetrating eyes of love. And Jesus says, okay, but one thing thou lackest. In other words, let's put it this way. Jesus is saying, well, let me tell you one thing you can't do in your own strength. Go sell everything you have and give it to the poor, knowing in heaven your rewards are there. Let go of the covetousness that is in your heart and follow me, living your life for others and serving others. Let me tell you one thing you can't do in your own strength. And then it's at that point that Jesus takes us a step further by introducing the crucified life. He says, and come, take up your cross and follow me. And I truly believe what Jesus is speaking in his heart is this. The crucified life takes a strength far greater than human strength. Not only am I telling you one thing it's impossible for you to do in your own strength, but I'm telling you when it comes to the crucified life, no man can do it in their own strength. I believe at this point Jesus could even be thinking in his own heart. Do you see these men who call me disciples? Do you see these men I call disciples? They can't even live the crucified life in their own strength. There's going to be a time when they're going to forsake me. There's going to be a time they're going to deny me because no one can live the crucified life in their own strength. And here's the question. When Jesus spoke these words into the heart of this young man about laying down his treasures in earth and living and walking out the crucified life, what happened in this young man's heart? Let me tell you what happened in his heart. For the first time, he's confronted by his own strengthlessness. For the first time in his youthful life, he's confronted by his own powerlessness. For the first time, a cry rises up in his heart that says, this is the one thing that the strength of my heart cannot rise above and overcome. I am a covetous man. I recognize it now. I realize it now. In Jesus' charge, it's a mirror before my face now. And I see that I am a covetous man. And this is really one thing I know I cannot do. I know the strength of my heart cannot rise up and overcome. I can't let it go. Now see, the rich man, young man is suddenly thrown into a crisis of choice. You see, when Jesus presents these words to his heart, he's suddenly in a place of choice, and there's only two choices that he can make. So let's look at these two choices. First, go with me to verse 22. It says, and he was sad at the saying, and he went away grieved, for he had great possessions. So the first choice is to walk away because he loves his riches more than he desires eternal life. That is his first choice. But there is a second choice, and there is only one more choice. And you'll find that in verse 26. And his disciples were astonished out of measure, saying among themselves, who then can be saved? Beloved, here's the second choice. Falling absolutely, utterly helpless before Jesus and saying, how can I be saved? Is it possible that I can be saved? When Jesus confronts the strengthlessness of his own heart and shows him, here's one thing you can't do in your strength. Instead of walking away grieved in his heart, he could have fell upon his knees and said, Lord, this is too great for me. Who can be saved? Is it possible I can be saved? And see, the good news is if he would have made the second choice, Jesus has an answer for his absolute powerlessness. There is an answer in Jesus' heart he is prepared to give. Don't fret. Don't despair. There is hope. I have an answer. But before Jesus can give him that word of hope, the man has to make the choice first. And sadly, he made the wrong choice. He walked away. But see, here's what I want us to understand. If he had chosen to fall before Christ in utter helplessness, what was the word of hope that he would have found? It was the same word that Jesus gave his disciples. Look with me at verse 27. Start with verse 26. It says, who then can be saved? And Jesus, looking upon them, said, with men it is impossible, but not with God. For with God, all things are possible. In other words, Jesus is saying, salvation has nothing to do with your strength. It has everything to do with God's strength. Salvation has nothing to do with your own sufficiency. It has everything to do with the sufficiency God has provided for you. What is impossible with man, saving himself, is possible with God because God has provided saving grace. And the crucified life has nothing to do with your strength. It has everything to do with the grace-filled life. It's God who works in you both to will and to do of His good pleasure. That's the definition of grace. Be of good courage, rich young man. What is impossible for you is possible with God because God gives grace. That's the word He is prepared to give this man. Young man, you are in a place of choice. You can walk away, or in your absolute revelation of powerlessness and strengthlessness, you can fall upon your face before me and say, who then can be saved? And I have a word for you. Yes, it's impossible with you. Saving yourself is impossible, but it's not impossible with God. Salvation is all about grace, and I'm ready to give that to you. Are you alive out there? Amen. You know, someone once said to me, Pastor Tim, anyone in the Bible, if there's a way to get them saved, you'll always find that way to get them saved. You'll even get Judas saved. I'm not going to go that far. But His grace extends to the uttermost. And I believe God is showing him something. God is showing, He's awakening something in this man that I believe years later could very possibly bring fruition in his life. And I'm almost sure when Jesus said, what's impossible with man is possible with God, I'm almost sure the rich young man's next question would have been something like this. Well, how does my impossibility become possible? How do I find the salvation that is only in God? How do I find this grace? How do I enter this grace? And Jesus gives us a hint of the answer I'm sure He would have given him. Jesus gives us a hint in this story of the answer I'm sure He would have given him. Look at verse 24. And the disciples were astonished at the saying. But Jesus answered and said unto them, children, how hard is it for them that trust in riches to enter into the kingdom of God? So Jesus answers, the first word of his mouth, it says, children, how hard is it for them that trust in riches to enter into the kingdom of God? And I really want to emphasize that word children. See, Jesus is using a very intimate word, and he's talking to a people that he knows has no strength in themselves, like a little child. He says, children, and Jesus is making a point. And so the question is, could be, well, what point is he making? Well, let's just look at the story before this story. It's actually the story of Jesus with the little children. Look with me at verse 15. Verse 15, Jesus says, verily I say unto you, whosoever shall not receive the kingdom of God as a little child, he shall not enter therein. Beloved, what is Jesus saying? Here's what he's saying. Entering into the kingdom of God is not about strength. It's about childlike faith. It's about childlike trust. There's only one door into this kingdom of grace, and that is faith. Beloved, going back to the beginning of the story, when Jesus gave the man the commandments, don't kill, don't steal, don't bear false witness, obey your parents. When he gave him the commandments, and the rich young man said, I've kept these all from my youth. Do you know what Jesus could have easily said? He could have easily said, you're missing the whole point of the law. You're missing the whole point of the law. Beloved, what is the point of the law? I want to show you a tremendous little verse in Romans I just discovered very recently that really tells you, it sums up the whole point of the law. I want you to look at it with me. I want you to go with me to Romans chapter 9. Romans chapter 9. Look with me at verse 31 and 32. It says, but Israel, which followed after the law, talking about the law, which followed after the law of righteousness, hath not attained to the law of righteousness. Why? Wherefore? But that word means why. Because they sought it not by faith, but as it were by the works of the law. Because they sought it not by faith, but as it were by the works of the law. Beloved, what does this text say about the law? What does it say the law is all about? It's telling us the law is all about faith. It's all about living in faith and not trusting in works. See, understand, the law was about showing man how powerless his own strength is in keeping God's holy standard, and therefore bringing you into a life of faith. That's what the law was about. And I finally got the revelation now. Matthew 5:17, Jesus said, I came to fulfill the law. He said, I come to fulfill the law. In other words, what Jesus is saying is the law is all about bringing people into faith in me. I am ultimately the righteousness that the law is to bring them into by faith. That's what Jesus said when he said, I fulfilled the law. I'm the fulfillment of the law. I am the person. I am the righteousness the law is ultimately pointing you to by faith. So Jesus could have easily looked at this rich young man who made the same mistake all the other Jewish people were making. Instead of humbling themselves to what the law was really speaking, in the pride of their hearts, they just made the law a book of works that they would keep in order to demonstrate their own righteousness. Jesus could have easily said to this young man, these commandments that you say you keep in your heart, you're missing the whole point. They are to bring you into faith. So ultimately, when this young man would have fell at Jesus' feet and said, is it possible that I can be saved? How can I be saved? Jesus would have pointed him to grace and said, it's by faith. The law has done its work here, rich young man. It's faith. Now capture this. This is important. So why didn't Jesus do that? Why didn't he explain to this man about the law and faith? Why did he say, one thing thou lackest? Let me tell you one thing you can't do in your own strength. Why did he say that? Could it possibly be Jesus just needed to awaken in him his need for faith? Before I introduce you to faith, I need to awaken in your knee, in your heart, so you can see your need for faith. So you can see your need for me. So I'm going to tell you something you can't do in your own strength. Lay down the covetousness of your heart and live your life for one purpose, to serve others. Amen. Now I want you to go with me back to Mark chapter 10. Look with me at verse 22. It says, and he was sad at that saying, and went a great grieved, for he had great possessions. You know, when I used to read those words, I felt a sorrow in my heart. And it was a sorrow in my heart that said, oh, this poor man, he missed heaven because he wasn't willing to let go of one thing. How sad that is. He missed heaven because he just wouldn't let go of one thing. But then I began to think about my own heart and life before coming to Christ. Begin to think about that time before I found the grace that is in Christ. And like this rich young man, I know there are a few things I could have told God. I did very well in my own strength. Jesus, here are some good things that I do in my own strength. But you know what Jesus would have answered me? He could have answered, sure, but not one thing you lack. 20 things you lackest. 30 things you lackest. 40 things you lackest. 100 things you lackest. Let me tell you 100. Oh, sure, there's a few good things you can do that are good in your own strength. But let me tell you 100 things you can't do in your own strength. Let me tell you. You're dealing over here with one man who lacks one thing. But I know Jesus could have looked in my life and said, let me give you 100. First of all the people that hurt you and wounded you in your past very deeply and broke your heart, I want you to forgive them. I can't do that. I don't have the strength to do that. Okay, let's look at this. Love your wife like Christ loves the church. Love her with a deep sacrificial love. I can't do that. I don't have the strength to do that. Okay, let's step away from that. Love God more than you love worldly possessions. I can't do that. God, I don't have the strength to do that. Live your life to deny self and live for the benefit of others. I cannot do that. And beloved, can I say the list would go on and on and on? But here's the wonderful news. When I accept God's salvation by faith, that is faith in the cleansing power of Christ, it is then grace begins to work, performing things in my life that in my strength, I'm powerless to do. Amen. I want to show you something. Go with me to 2 Timothy chapter 3. 2 Timothy chapter 3. Look with me at verse 1 through 5. This know also that in the last days perilous times shall come. For men shall be lovers of their own selves, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, without natural affection, truce breakers, false accusers, incontinent, fierce, despisers of those that are good. What a list, huh? Traitors, heady, high-minded, lovers of pleasure more than lovers of God, having a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof. Beloved, here's what we have to understand. In verses 1 through 4, Paul's not talking about people in the world. He's talking about many people that are in the last days church. He's describing the condition of many people in the last days church. And the reason why they are in this condition is because they have adopted a false theology. What is this false theology? Look with me again at verse 5. Having a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof. So what is the false theology? Here it is. They had an outward show of religious piety, but they denied the inward power. And what was the inward power they were denying? They were denying the power of grace. The power of grace in the people's lives. You see, the theology they adopted is this. Grace covers you, but it truly doesn't have the power to work in your heart and bring change. Grace covers you, but it doesn't have the power to bring the life where you are changing from glory to glory. And what Paul is saying is this. You have adopted a wrong theology of grace. When you are truly born again, grace not only covers you with righteousness, but it also has the power to work in your heart as you grow in the Lord. And here's what I love. Paul is saying this. Capture it. Paul is saying grace covers everything on this list. Grace can take a man who is a lover of himself and create a heart that is loving and selfless. Grace can take a covetous heart and turn it into a giving heart. Grace can take an unthankful man and work into a heart that is grateful. There is nothing on this list grace cannot work in and change when someone is walking in relationship with God. The glory of the new covenant is that it gloriously changes you from the inside out as you are walking with God. He gives them a long list and says, this is you. And the reason why you're stuck in these situations and circumstances and issues of your heart is you really don't believe in the changing power of grace. But I'm telling you, grace covers everything on this list. It can take a murmurer and complainer and bring a man of gratefulness and praise in his life. It can change someone who's disobedient to parents to someone who's respectful to their parents. And it's not in your strength that you do this. It's in the power of grace. You're missing the whole point. That's quite a list he gives them. But he says grace covers all this. is greater than all this. Grace can save you, but it can also change you, who you are. Now, I began the message with a title. The title is, Put Your List Into the Hands of Grace. Beloved, I have a confession to make. I still have a list. I still have areas in my heart where I haven't fully arrived. I still have areas that have not been absolutely perfected and still need a lot of work. But yet I hear God speaking hope to my heart. What is impossible with man is possible with God. Put your list into the hands of grace. Put your list into those grace-filled hands that are working so deep in your life, and just believe by faith what is impossible for you, I can perform in your life. It's not always an overnight work. The work isn't always completed by making one altar call. Sometimes the work is a process. But the good news is, it is a process. It's a deep work. It's a thorough work. You know, I know I still have a long way to go. But I'm not the same man I was a year ago. And that is because grace is working in my heart. Grace is working in my life. The Lord is saying, put your list into my hands. And just have faith that I can make you what I want you to be. Now, I want to end with this. I don't want to take away from all from the message that the rich young ruler possibly missed heaven because he wasn't willing to give up his riches. He has been preached that way many times, and the message is so true. Many have missed heaven because they wouldn't let go of something to receive God's salvation plan. And when God directs me, I will preach it that way. But I do want to say this. I have hope for the rich young ruler. I think it's very possible Jesus' words weighed in his heart. I think it's very possible Jesus' revelation that no man can save himself and change himself in his own strength weighed in his heart. Every time he looked at his bank book, he heard Jesus' words. And every time he bought a new piece of property, he felt his own powerlessness to change a self-centered life to a God-centered life. And I have hope that there came a day he sank to his knees in his own helplessness and cried out. And then he found grace. I really have hope for this man. I think when Jesus said, go sell everything you have and come live the crucified life, I think he planted a seed in his heart. And I think there was a day he fell on his knees and said, who can be saved? How can I be saved? And that's when the Holy Spirit brought back the words of Jesus. With man, it's impossible. But not with God. God gives grace. And the only thing you need to enter into that door is faith. Amen. Stand with me this morning. Here's my altar call. You're going to need your Bible for the altar call. Go with me to 2 Kings chapter 19. 2 Kings chapter 19. Now everyone look at me. 2 Kings chapter 18 and 19. The enemy of God's people sends the king, Hezekiah, and Hezekiah's people a letter. And in this letter is really a list of offenses he said God has against you. The enemy actually said, I'm here because God sent me here because your God is against you. And here's the reason why. And he gives them a list of offenses. Here's how you offended God. Here's how you offended God. Here's how you offended God. And when Hezekiah received that list, what did he do with that list? Look with me at verse 14. And Hezekiah received a letter of the hand of the messengers and read it. And Hezekiah went up into the house of the Lord and spread it before the Lord. So that list of offenses, what did he do with it? He took it into the house of the Lord and spread it before the Lord. And when Hezekiah spread his list before the Lord, do you know what God said? I got this covered. And God took care of the enemy. Your little list you got there? I got it covered. And he took care of the enemy. And can I just say, we all got a list. Man, I got a long list from just yesterday. Oh, man. But you know, I take my list and I put it into the hands of grace, to the hands of God. God says, I got it covered. Sure, you still have some places we really need to work on, but the good news is you're not where you were a year ago. I'm working. And one more time, I found myself giving my list to God and saying, God, I'm going to believe you've got this covered. And not only that you got it covered, because I don't take grace as a license to sin. If you take grace as a license to sin, I really doubt you're saved. I don't take my faults and failures and grace as a license to sin, but God, I put it before you saying, God, I know you got this covered. I'm in your righteousness. And the good news is while I'm saved, you are changing me from glory to glory. And this morning is just an invitation for people. Maybe you just have a sense of need in your heart. One more time, I just need to bring my list before God. Say, God, here's my list. But I want to trust you got it covered. And you're changing me from glory to glory. And one more time, I'm just going to rest in grace through the door of faith. Amen. My altar call is just that simple. So if you'd like to come and just say, God, I put my list before you, just trusting you got it covered. And you're changing me from glory to glory. I just invite you to come. And I want to ask Caitlin just to come and play something on the piano. And we're in the house of God. Let's spread our list before the Lord. God, here's my list. I know you got it covered. And God, I'm just asking now. Let grace do its work. Change me, God, from glory to glory. Change me, Lord, as I receive your grace through faith. God, change me. As I was just sitting there trying to think of a prayer, Lord, they've come to the altar. I need to pray for them. There's not a prayer in my heart. You know what's in my heart? Worship is in my heart. Just seeing God's faithfulness, this wonderful grace that we have in God, knowing where I would be without this wonderful grace, because I know my list better than anybody knows my list. The rich young man and ruler had one thing. Jesus could have looked at me and said, 100 things, 1,000 things you lack. And I know where I would be without grace. And there's just something in my heart that desires to worship the Lord. So my prayer is, I'm just going to ask Sister Kaylee, if y'all could sing that song again. And could we just stand and worship the Lord? Let's just take a moment to worship the Lord. And then we'll just close. Let's worship the Lord. Let's thank Him for His grace. Let's worship the one who gave us His grace. Where would we be without this grace? Let's just worship the Lord a minute. Lord, I thank you. You have covered our list, God. Lord, just being very honest and real, Lord, when I was reading that list in 2 Timothy, God, talking about unthankful, unholy, disobedient parents. God, I still see traces of those things in my own life. But God, there's a hope in my heart. You know I love you. You know my heart is towards you. The blood has covered me, and God, your grace is changing your people from glory to glory, God. And Lord, with confidence and boldness, I come to the throne this morning and I just spread my list before you and say, God, I see the offenses. The enemy whispers in my ear, but I know your grace is greater. And I thank you, God, that biblical grace, maybe not American grace, but biblical grace, don't just cover you. It works in your heart and changes you. God, we are predestinated, God, to be conformed to the image of Christ. And God, nothing is stronger in my life than the grace of God. Lord, as the seed of Christ is increasing, I am decreasing. And I thank you for that, God. And I thank you that we can walk out of the hope, walk out of here with hope in our heart. And Father, I thank you, God. Just, it's been a time on my knees looking at the life of this rich young ruler. God, in my heart, I just feel an intimate bond with him. God, I feel like you planted a seed in his heart. You awakened him to his need for faith. You awakened him for his need for Christ. And I do believe there was a time. I could be wrong, but I do believe there was a time. He fell on his knees and said, who can be saved? With man, it's impossible. But not with God. Because God gives grace. Thank you, God. Amen. Beloved, let's stand and I'll close in prayer. If you want to stay around the altar a little longer, please feel free to. Lord, I thank you for this message. I thank you for this worship that we had this morning. I thank you that you met us today in worship. God, you met us today in worship. I felt the stirring of your strength in our hearts. And God, I felt the grace in your word today. Lord, truly, if we have eyes to see it, we have sat down at a table with the Lord today. And God, you have fed us from that table. And Lord, let us walk out of here with grateful hearts, God. Lord, as we live a life in your word, Holy Spirit, open the word to our hearts. Show us the heart of God. Cause us to hunger more for a deeper place in the Lord. And I thank you, and I pray it in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. God bless you this morning.